Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast. My name is Jordan. It's a brand new year and we're going to start it off bright and early. Not super bright and early, but you know, we're starting off the beginning of the year with the Lucky Dip Podcast, making a return. Took a couple weeks off just because, you know, wanted to end it with that year, what would it be, year-end review that I did last episode. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. But actually, quite a few of you did listen to that one, so that was pretty impressive. Because it was a fun one to do. Just I like looking back at the year that was, and you know, kind of just go month by month. So that's what that episode was. That's not what this one's going to be. What this one's actually going to be, I thought it would be appropriate since we did the year interview last time at the end of 2021, the first podcast of 2022. We should look forward to kind of what we want to see this year. So last episode, we looked back in the past, and this one, we're going to look forward into the future. And I'm going to look at this through the lens of Christ Gaming. But since I don't have, well, I'm not going to say everything, you know, because as much as I want to say on this podcast, I've said this so many times before, I want to say a lot of stuff about like what we do at Christ and everything. So that way, if people are listening and they want to start an esports org or anything, they can look back and learn. But I also don't want to say everything that we're doing, because then, you know, that gives away, you can't give away stuff for free. Not everything. You can give away some stuff, but not everything. But then also because some things just haven't been announced yet, or I'm not too sure what's going to happen in 2 months, you know what I mean? So things might change and goals might change. You might have to pivot. What I'm trying to say before we get into this is that it's going to be into two parts. So we get part one is going to be talking about kind of just a few goals and stuff that we have for Christ and some things that I would kind of like to see. And then the second half, because I haven't talked about this for a long time, we're going to talk about Call of Duty and the state that it's in right now, because it's not good. It's not a good state. For those of you who might be new to the podcast, Call of Duty is my favorite game. That's the game that I've been playing since I was, since Modern Warfare 2, since I was, I honestly don't even know how long it's been, 12? Maybe a little younger? I'm 24 now. I've been playing this game for a long time. I used to watch tons of YouTube videos on it. And then more recently, I got into watching competitive and all that. And it's really sad to see where it's at right now. And it's very frustrating because they had so many good games in the past. And now every single one that comes out sucks. So that's what the second part of this podcast is going to be a little bit about. Not just about the game, but also about the competitive scene and why it's very frustrating. Before we get into either of these topics, I just want to say that I hope everybody had a happy new year. Hope you had a nice little break over the holidays. You know, the holidays can be a little bit of an awkward time when you're doing business or anything like that, because part of me, I'm speaking for myself here at least, with Christ and everything, is that we work all year and everything, so when you have this break on the holidays, I flew home and then, you know, my plane was delayed. It was crazy because everybody's getting COVID, like as in the airport staff, and it was just super cold snap that went through. Regardless, sometimes it's nice to just take a break, you know, and that's where I'm trying to say that it's nice to work hard, but it's also nice to just take a break and relax once in a while. So that's where it's trying to find that nice balance between taking a rest and then also getting things done. So took a couple weeks off. Everybody kind of had a nice break. And now since, you know, holidays over, New Year's over, my birthday was yesterday. I'm officially 24 now. I actually don't know if I'm uploading. You know, I'll probably upload this today. Normally I upload it on a Saturday podcast, but you know, I'm going to do it 2 days early just because I work this weekend and I'll probably forget to upload it. So as of right now, recording this and uploading this on a Thursday, my birthday was yesterday and I'm officially 24. It was a bit of a weird birthday just because, you know, it's like an average work day. I'm living on my own in a new province, in a new city. So I didn't have anybody to celebrate with me, but you know, everybody still said happy birthday and stuff, and that's all you can really ask for. And I think today, well, there's kind of a snowstorm going on. Honestly, they said it was going to be really bad. It doesn't look that bad. It only looks like a couple inches of snow, and it does not look like blizzard conditions, so I might be able to go for a walk and get some food because I have some gift cards. So that's my little birthday lunch, you know? When I'm at work, I didn't want to do it, but the day off that I have today, prior to my weekend shift, maybe I'll go get some food for lunch. Sorry, that was off topic. I just come looking outside and I see Starbucks is right across the street from me, and I do have a Starbucks gift card. I don't know. I got to decide what to do. But yeah, I just wanted to say that I hope everybody had a good happy new year, good holidays. And now that the, you know, new year has officially begun, 2022 is underway. Hopefully it's a year that you all prosper, flourish, and write down some goals and try to achieve them. I myself have to do that, and I have not yet. I've been procrastinating doing that for a while. I don't know why. It's just sometimes I get home from work and I just want to play video games. You know what I mean? It's a struggle of a gamer. Okay, let's get into it. Part one of this podcast, as I mentioned before, Cryus gaming goals. So these are just a few of them that I kind of just thought of, just in general, in a sense that I'll kind of talk about. And then, like I mentioned, there is usually things that happen throughout the year where you can achieve new goals, or some goals might not happen, or you might just pivot your focus. An example of that is last year in March, when Cryus officially started, we wanted to have an equal effort in content and competitive, but then we realized as we started doing this, with just two of us, as in Alex and myself, the two co-founders who are the ones doing things behind the scenes, it's very difficult to balance making good content because that takes time and effort. That's what we know how to do. That's what we're good at doing, but it takes a lot of time while also trying to focus on competitive and building the brand as a whole. So that's when we had to kind of pivot and realize let's focus on our competitive team first and kind of figure out how we're doing things and then start to bring back in some content. And yeah, I forget what else I was going to say about that. I had 2 points about content and now I do not remember, but that is okay. It'll probably come to me later on. So the first goal that I have this year is to venture into a brand new video game for an esports competitive team and hopefully for a content creator. We've been with Rocket League for, well, just about a year. You know, that's the game we started with. That's the only game we've had so far, the only game we've been competing in. And it's been great because when we first started, I had never played Rocket League prior to when we decided Rocket League would be a good game to go into. So I started playing it. I play it every day now. It's fun. We're getting more and more known in the smaller community. Like, obviously not in, like, you know, the professional community, but the smaller community, the amateur scene. People know who we are now across Canada, in the States. We're getting our name out there. We're competing lots, and we're doing pretty well. And that stuff is always exciting, and it's great. And, you know, Rocket League has been an amazing community. So it's not like I'm sitting here going, Rocket League sucks. That's not the case at all. If anything, Rocket League is going good, and it's kind of this is such a cliche, but a well-oiled machine. You know, our team, they know what they're doing. They kind of just go, get at it. They find tournaments they want to go into. We have a couple leagues that we're in. Everything is going pretty good. So now that that is working, the next step, realistically, is to get into another game, because as an esports organization, well, we're not really just an esports organization, more of a gaming organization, because like I said, we want to do content and competitive. I think a term a lot of people get confused with is talking about esports. Esports is strictly competitive gaming. So as an org, we have an esports team, which currently is our Rocket League team, but then we also want to be more of a gaming organization to have content and all of that. So esports is one facet, one arm of Cryus Gaming as a whole. That's why we're not called Cryus Esports, because we're not just competitive. We also do other things. And it's just a broader term. Esports is more, specific, I suppose. But a lot of people get that confused. And it's okay, I get that confused sometimes too. It makes sense now that we have Rocket League ready to go. And we took a year. Like, some people might try to rush it. And that's what we did not want to do. We did not want to rush. We didn't want to get a Rocket League team. I think we got them in May officially. We signed them and stuff. And then all of a sudden, immediately after, going to Call of Duty and Valorant and Rainbow Six and just all these other video games and League of Legends. You know what I mean? We wanted to take our time to really figure out how this kind of works. And we're still learning every day. But again, we're comfortable with it, to learn what works, what doesn't work, to learn what's feasible and what's not. So now that we've kind of figured that out, and like I said, our team that we have right now is amazing. They're really, really solid. And they kind of take care of themselves. So it's a really good time for us to expand more, so that way Cryus Gaming isn't just known for Rocket League. We can start getting into more communities and expanding the Cryus community as a whole. So as for games to go into, I mean, that's a tough one, right? Because every time you go into a new game, it's a gamble. And that's the scary part, because now that we're comfortable with Rocket League, venturing into a new game that we might not be as familiar with, or that requires a bigger roster, or, you know, different styles of tournaments or anything, that's a little scary because we're used to how we do things now. But I think that's a necessary step we have to take to keep growing, right? Actually, on that note, growing, we have over 120 followers now on Twitter, which is amazing because just a couple months ago, we only had 80. And that in itself is really good. So we've been slowly growing, and that's been amazing. And that's where it's, we're getting up there slowly but surely. And now we want to expand into more games so that way we can just build a community. I know I probably said that a couple of times. If you listen to this podcast before, you know that I explain things a few different ways, a few different times, but we all get to the same conclusion as to what I'm trying to say. Personally, I mean, I'll get into Call of Duty in the second half of this. I would love to do Call of Duty, but I don't think it's feasible right now. So the one game that is a very high possibility is probably going to be Valorant. Now, that's a good thing, but also a bad thing. Only reason for it being a bad thing is because we don't really know much about Valorant. I've only played it maybe, I don't know, 3 times. So the only thing I'm saying about that is because it's like a whole new game to learn. And what we did also learn about having it in a game like Rocket League, for example, is we don't need to be experts in the game, but we should know a little bit about the game and how it works, or have somebody who can really explain it to us and kind of be that manager role, if you would say, to kind of explain, not how the game works, I'm not stupid, I know how the game works, but sort of these things like, hey, here's the tournament that'd be really good, or here's this league, if we go into this, we can get into this open bracket, these players are pretty good for this, this is the people you should be looking out for, things like that, you know, somebody who is a bit more intertwined in the Valorant scene, just because I myself am not familiar. If it was Call of Duty, myself and my buddy Braden would take on that role because I'd just be like, hey, Braden, I gotta look. Can you help me look for a team for Cryus? And then we kind of look for a team because that's the game that we've both been playing for years and years. Or if it was League of Legends, Alex would have a bit more expertise in it. So then he could find somebody to kind of help, or he'd be able to look at the team and be like, yeah, these guys are solid, or he might be able to figure out how the tournaments work easier, things like that. But Valorant is a really good game right now because it's free to play. It's the developers have been pretty supportive from what I've known, from what I've heard. The same developers, I think they're Riot Games, if I'm not mistaken. They also have League of Legends. It's a first-person shooter, but it's different than an arena shooter like Call of Duty and stuff. It's very similar to a game called CSGO, which has been very popular and around for years and years and years. It's like a new take on it with a different developer. And the game has been out for, I think, over a year now. It's been out for a while. So it's kind of been establishing itself, but it's also not there might be gatekeeping in it, as in you can only get to a certain part, or there's certain people who like determine if you can play or not. But as of right now, there's a lot of open bracket tournaments and stuff, and it's still a very popular game. Their tournaments do very well. Co-streaming is also allowed, which means that if there's a tournament going on, you can have content creators and everything co-streaming it, which brings up the viewership. An example of what you can't do, it was Call of Duty, you can't co-stream, so you can only watch the one official stream. You can't watch like one of your favorite streamers watch it and have watch parties. They don't allow that. So anyways, Valorant, pretty good. So that's probably the game that I'm hoping we can kind of get into. And that'll be a big step, but I think it's a necessary step, and I think it'll be actually quite exciting. Now, another thing, if we're going to be building a game, or not building a game, we're not developing anything. If we're going to get into a new game and try to expand, and based off of that too, is if we start to get into Valorant, it would also be really great to sign somebody as another content creator, preferably a streamer who doesn't play Rocket League, who might not even play Valorant. I want somebody who is just a really good streamer, who has a, you know, a decent-sized audience, who can bring in that entertainment side to Cryus. And that means that we could post a lot of clips with them. We do collaborations with them. They could be in YouTube videos when we start rolling that out again. So it's just things like that would be really great if we had a competitive Rocket League team, so we can have content and clips from there and compete. If we had a competitive Valorant team, we can take some clips from, they compete. Then we have Little Big Man, who helps, is a content creator for us, to makes TikToks on his account and everything, but he's Rocket League based. He streams once in a while, and also he just helps us cast and do all that, because that's what he likes to do as well, and he helps run some streams, which is awesome. So we had him doing that. And then we have one content creator, at least for now, who streams on Twitch or YouTube, whatever the platform is, who plays something different, whether that might be Warzone or whether that might be Valorant, because it still might be. Just something a little different, though, than what we've done, which has mainly been Rocket League. And I know I said I wouldn't want Valorant or Rocket League just because I want something different, but if they're a big enough streamer, it doesn't really matter. But just somebody who has like a bit of a community built, who can kind of help bring that community in, and then we can help them grow a community and have that family aspect as being part of the Cryus crew. Because that's what I always try to do, is we need to have a big enough team, but I also don't want a team that's so big that I don't know everybody. You know what I mean? Like, the people that we have on a team are people that we've built relationships with and stuff, and that we have that kind of collaborative, I think that's the word I meant. You know, that attitude towards each other where we try to help each other out, game together, do things like that. So it's just like a nice little esports family and gaming family we're trying to build. So if we're building these bigger games, I keep saying building these bigger games, if we're building these bigger teams or more teams in different games, we need to build a bigger team behind the scenes. So as I said at the start of the podcast, and as I've said previously, Alex and I are the only two behind the scenes, in a sense, who are kind of trying to build this, who do the content, who do social media, who do everything. So if we want to keep expanding, we need to also keep expanding our team behind the scenes, the Cryus team, so that way we can help take care of other things, right? So if we had somebody underneath us who can help kind of manage a little bit of everything, or if we had somebody to do social media, somebody to help with editing, or somebody who has maybe more of that business mindset who can kind of look for deals or sponsorships, we'd always be the ones, Alex and I are always the ones to sign off on things at the end of the day, right? So if somebody went out and found something, they can't just, you know, accept it on their own, the deal or anything, but they could go find deals, bring it to us, and we can decide if we want it or not. But that would be really nice, because then more things would be happening without us having to go out and look for them. And lots of times, I'll be honest, I don't know how to look for sponsorships. I don't know what you need to get sponsorships. I don't know how to grow on social media very well. That's not what I'm an expert in. That's not what my my area of expertise is. So if we have people behind the scenes to help with that stuff, then that'll help us continue to grow the brand. So that's really something that I hope we can do, is try to find the right people. And that's the other thing. I don't want to rush it. And that's where I'm trying to say it's important to have that continue with that aspect of having people on the team who you can trust, who you begin to know, who you like, and who you know will bring this thing to the next level. So it's not getting too impatient, right? Because right now I could be like, oh my goodness, we need to bring 5 people on the team, volunteer basis, and we need somebody to do this, and we're also going to need 3 Valorant teams, we're going to need 2 Rocket League teams, we're going to get 5 content. Like, as much as you want to dream like that, I think it's better to take it slowly and patient how we have been, so that way we're not biting up more than we can chew, so that it's all feasible, so that we can kind of work at it, and then that way, as we continue building up, the momentum will continue to build, and then maybe we'll have that one day where we can go, okay, we need 3 more people to help us with this, and eventually, hopefully, money will be involved, and we can say, hey, we can pay these people now, so let's actually find someone, or we can do internships through our university, which is something that we've wanted to do, where we can bring somebody on from broadcasting and be like, hey, this summer you're going to run like scrims and stuff, or you're going to help us do management, or you're going to help us run streams, whatever the case might be. Social media, something like that, right? So bringing people in so they get opportunities. Content, again, as I kind of mentioned before, content is also something that I want us to start working on again, whether that's slowly working on TikToks, continuing trying to build Twitter, getting more clips, putting more things out there, and also eventually YouTube. And the other big one is streaming. So I want us to start streaming again, because we had some good streams last year. I want us to be more consistent. I want us to start uploading YouTube videos a little bit again. I know we eventually want to get to about once every a couple of months, but even if we do one every couple of months, or then get to one a month, you know what I mean, is with content starts to grow, because that's another very important part that we know is very important. That's what we know how to do, but it's so hard trying to do the content while also trying to build the team. So if we get these team stuff set up, then we can focus a bit more on content. And then that'll also help bring in fans, and that'll help build our fan base and document what we're doing and everything. So that's something that I don't want us to forget about. And I want us to start growing is our content side. And ultimately as well, I just want to keep building a nice audience. I want to keep growing a nice fan base, people who support us. And so far we've been doing good. And I just want to build community more as well. I know I mentioned this in a previous podcast as well, where community is a very important part. The Cryus community, who support us, is important, but also just the esports and the gaming community in Canada is important, because we're smaller than the States, and it's important for us to start building this as a whole. So I'm talking like, I want to find other esports orgs. I want to work with some more universities, which we're in the process of doing. So things like that, to build the community and then build fans of people who just like the game. And they don't necessarily need to always be a fan of us, but just build a community for everybody to thrive in and have fun and to find people to play with and just to talk about, show clips and talk about the games. Things like that would be really exciting. So that's what I hope we can also continue to build is the Cryus fan base, but then also just a community in general for gaming and esports in Canada, because that's also very, very important. Another thing that hopefully we can do is the Launchpad pitch competition again that we have this year. I really hope that we can do it. I think that we can at least apply for it. No guarantees that we'll get accepted. And even if we do get accepted, that's when the scary part comes, because it's, although it's exciting, it's also scary because that's when we actually have to pitch. It would be in Calgary, which is a bit of a problem because I'm not there right now. And that's when we can win thousands of dollars for branding and just for our business. So that could really set us up nicely. Last year, we did win a little pitch. That was a couple thousand dollars. This one would be, I think it can be up to $15,000 or $20,000. I can't remember. So that one would be really cool, obviously. But the only thing I worry about is that we're not ready yet, because we've had a couple of meetings with our old instructor, who would be the one to, we'd like kind of apply through in a sense. Like, he's one of the people who runs the accelerator program. And he kind of is saying, like, good pitches are ones that have really big ideas that are feasible that might not have results yet. Or you have not a super big idea, but you have a ton of results, and then that way the money will go to the big idea, or the money will go towards growing what you've already established. So I think that us as Christ, we need to find either a really big idea that we can actually work towards and show that we're working towards it and how we're going to work towards it and how we already have, or we need to start having a lot of results pretty quickly to show, hey, look what we're doing. And if we got this money, that would help us elevate it to the next step. And then that step would take us to the next step, you know, like kind of continuing on. But I mean, the hard part is because we don't have a huge fan base yet. We've been growing. We've been doing good. And I don't want to undervalue what we've done. But I just mean, this is like a big competition. And it's like very, very serious. And a lot of people who are doing this are certified entrepreneurs. There are other students who did a really good job. They have businesses that are making money. And that's in the part where I get stressed out, because people don't understand esports yet, right? So even if I said, this isn't making money yet, but we have X amount of followers and we can get this many sponsors once we reach this and we can enter this tournament to make money. The hard part is people don't understand it yet. And so it's even hard for us sometimes to try to really figure out how to do this, because we don't have very many mentors or people who are in the space who can help us and say, this is what you need to do to make money. Here's what you should do to grow the business. You should do this before you do this. We're learning as we go. And that's kind of the stressful part about it, because it's not like we're trying to start a clothing brand. And so we can look at however many clothing brands there are and to say, okay, well, we've sold at the pitch competition, go, hey, we sold 5,000 t-shirts in 2 months. Here's our projections. Like, we don't have that. And that's the really hard part for me, is to try to explain what we're doing and show the vision, but also show the results. So that's coming up in a few months. And hopefully by then we'll have, that's another reason I kind of want a second game or another content creator, just something to expand us even just a bit more, give us that little extra push. So it's not like we've only been with one game for a year and we've, you know, gained 100 something followers, which is, again, nothing to be ashamed of or be undervaluing, because that's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just saying, for a competition that's that big, I think we need to have a bit more. And I hope we can do that, and I hope we can push towards it, and it would be really, really exciting. And the last thing is just continue to develop bigger business goals. Kind of based off what I just said at the pitch competition, is we need to kind of find that big idea that we want to do, something that will set us apart from other orgs, and something that we can kind of work towards and have that vision as in, that's what we're trying to achieve, that's what we're trying to be, and how do we get there? Because, again, we had those ideas last year when we first started, but then when you get into the nitty-gritty of doing things, the day-to-day things, focusing on putting tweets out, focusing on trying to make content, focusing on trying to make sure the team's doing good, looking at tournaments, you forget about looking at that big goal. So I think that's when we need to sit back, look at the goal that we want to put in place, figure out what that goal is specifically, and then how to get there. And also, it'd be nice if I'm back in Calgary. Alex is already moving back to Calgary. He'll be there very, very shortly, actually in a couple of weeks. I need to get back there because, A, I miss the place. I miss friends, family, everything, truthfully. But also because we need to be in person. Like, Alex and I have been building this online. We've only met up once in a year. But in order for us to work efficiently, and we both realize this, some people can work completely online. I myself can work online very well, but I also need that in-person aspect, especially for something I'm doing on my own. I can work online very well if people give me things to do and I can just do it on my own time very, very fast and efficiently. I mean, I finished my whole last year of school with like the best GPA I've had, got a scholarship through it and everything, did an internship online. Everything like that is super, super fine. But when it's me building the business, I need people to be in person, because I need to have that one-on-one connection, that human connection to build this thing. It's just something to keep us accountable, to keep the ideas flowing. You know, it's like when I'm the employee and I have tasks, I'm fine online. But if I'm the boss, the one making ideas, I can't be sitting at my computer. I need to be out doing things, and I need to be talking to people, and I need to be having a whiteboard and like writing things down and putting papers up and posters. And I, you know what I mean? I need that. I need that. I need to film with people in person. That's another reason our content, as I've been saying before, hasn't been what we want it to be, is because we're not in person. If even just Alex and I are in person, we can film some content together. I don't want to use webcams and stuff. And I know part of me is like, let's just start doing it. Let's just get some content out there. But it's not going to be what we want it to be. And I think for what we want it to be, we need to be in person. So anyways, enough of that rant. And well, it's not really rant. It's just looking for some cries, goals. Now let's talk about why Call of Duty sucks and why it's very, very sad. That was the first part of the podcast. This is the second part of the podcast. I'll try to keep this short. Not too short, but I'm trying to end it probably around 45 minutes or so, unless I just keep going on and on and on. We'll see. Call of Duty right now sucks. I'm just being honest with you. Call of Duty for the past few years has sucked. And it's really sad to see, because when I first started playing Call of Duty, granted, again, I was younger, right? So if I started playing now, I'd probably think the game's sweet. Because it's that whole honeymoon phase, that whole, oh, this is amazing, this is so cool, this is new, I suck at the game, but I'm trying to get better, and I don't care how long it takes, and I'm going to watch YouTube videos, and I'm going to improve, and I'm going to play. That phase. But now it's been 10 plus years of that. So now I'm kind of at the spot where I'm like, if this game sucks, I don't want to play it. And that's simply where we're at right now. So the Call of Duty that's out is called Call of Duty Vanguard. It's another World War II themed game. They've had a couple of them in the past, and they've always sucked. That's just my opinion. I think that they're lame. The guns and stuff are lame. The colors, just nothing looks good. They add new features in when it's just keep it like Call of Duty. We're not trying to be other games. If you want to play, if you want the game, and what I'm talking about is like doors that swing open and windows that break and all this crazy stuff or things you can destroy. It's like, if you want to do that, then go play a different game that has that, because that's not what Call of Duty's been. Call of Duty is supposed to be more open. It's supposed to have three lanes. It's supposed to have different types of buildings that are easily accessible to go through, nice movement, things like that. Simple guns. They put this thing in a couple of years ago for attachments on your guns, where you can have so many attachments, it's absurd. When I started playing, you could have one or two attachments on your gun. That was it. It kept it very simple, and that's all you could do. It'd be, hey, I want to have a red dot sight, and I want to have a quick draw, so I can aim in quicker. That's all you had. Maybe if you put a perk on, which would allow you to get a third one, and you could say, I'm going to get an extended mag so I have a little bit more bullets in my gun. That's it. That's all you had. Now you have so many, I can't even count how many there are. For each reticle, each sight, there's like 30. For stocks, there's 50. For extended mags, there's 10 of, like, it is so crazy how complex they've made it. And I think it just, I see the idea that they're trying to do. They're trying to make it cool, but it just takes away that simplicity of the game that we had previously. And I think that we all really liked, where it's like, hey, I'm going to put these two things on and let's just play. Versus, well, this one attachment combined with this other attachment combined with these other three attachments give me a 1% increase in velocity of my bullet range. Like, it's so complex now. It just makes it completely not fun for me. That might just be my opinion. I don't know if anybody else agrees. But the simplicity of the game has slowly been taken away. Let me look at my notes here, because I'm going to get carried away on this one. I can just tell already. So the new game came out in November. I have not played it at all. I have not purchased it. And I won't be, because it looks horrible. I guess the other side note about that is because I don't really play my PlayStation 4 anymore, because I just play games on my PC now. But my PC is not good enough. I don't have enough memory and all that, because I also do editing and everything on this computer, to have the new Call of Duty game, because they're pretty big games. So that's another little reason why I haven't paid for it or bought it, because I don't want to play it on my PlayStation 4, because it's just not good on that. Like, that's an old console now. It's like 4 or 5 years old. The new games are made for for PCs. That's what they're made for. I mean, that's what CDL, the Call of Duty League, plays on, is PCs, computers. They're not made for these older consoles. Even if I had a PlayStation 5, you know, then it would be a little bit better. But I just don't think it was worth spending money to get on my PlayStation 4, and it wouldn't work on my computer. But besides that, I don't have any desire to buy it. I don't even really watch it on Twitch. That's the thing. Last year, I would watch Seth Scumpy, Optic Scumpy, the guy who I've been watching since I was in, I think, the 8th grade, watching him for nearly 10 years. I would always watch his streams. I'd watch them scrim. I'd watch him play pubs, but the game is not fun. And I'm not the only one saying this. I mean, like, nobody's having fun playing this game. The pros don't like it or anything. They're not streaming scrims. They're not doing anything. So there's nothing for me to watch. And even when they were doing it, he was doing it last week for one of the last times they were streaming their scrims. I watched one match and I got so bored. I was like, I don't have any connection to this game. This does not look like Call of Duty. I myself don't play it, so I'm not going to watch it to improve. And I just don't care. Like, it just looks not fun. And it's just so sad because Call of Duty has been my main game. That is like when I'm like, I'm going to go game. It was Call of Duty all the time. That's what I wanted to make YouTube videos about. That's what I wanted to play. And to have a game that you just have no desire to play, no desire to even watch, is just so frustrating. Because they have the ability, the developers, Activision, they have the ability to make this game incredible. They are a huge, huge developers, a huge gaming studio. They can make these games so good, but all they care about is making money. So they make it easier for new players to play, which makes, and they don't take into consideration esports or competitive at all. They don't have a competitive ranking system in the game right now. All they care about is microtransactions. That's, you know, it's a good thing that like Fortnite and all these other games kind of started because they'd be free to play, but then you can buy skins, you can buy the battle pass, the Rocket League pass, so you can gain new accessories, you can gain different whatever, you know what I mean? So those are little microtransactions, little things you can buy in game. But with Call of Duty, that's all they focus on now. It's like, oh, let's try to sell these to the kids. And people who are older don't really pay for that stuff because we don't care. It's always for the younger people. And that's fine. But I just mean that's where all the money is made for them. They make millions and millions of dollars a day, I'm assuming, off of this stuff because it's what everybody does. So you think they're going to focus more on that than esports? Yes, because esports probably doesn't make them very much money. Now, here's the other thing that I want to say is that I never watched Call of Duty competitively when it was the CWL, the Call of Duty World League. They built this thing up for years. They had different companies working with them, put on tournaments. It was a grind. You know, it was in like these smaller venues. It wasn't super fancy. The broadcasts weren't crazy. But that's when the fans and everything was being built, and that's when it was super strong. The games were fun. The rivalries were huge. It was open bracket. There was huge rivalries, like I said, between the teams. That's when the Call of Duty would have been the best. And that's where I'm sad that I never watched it then because that would have been the most fun to watch. But then my buddy Braden told me the other day when we were talking on the phone, and he's like, you're actually almost lucky that you started watching a couple of years ago only when it transferred from the CWL to the CDL, Call of Duty League, because this is all you know. You didn't get to experience the highs of Call of Duty competitive. So you're not as disappointed as someone like himself is because he saw Call of Duty when it was at its prime. Which is funny because it should be now because there's so much money involved, but it's not. So at least therefore, I guess, you know, that's looking at it from a different angle is I only know Call of Duty competitively, at least as Call of Duty League for the past couple of years. So I don't really know what it was like to watch it when it was in its prime, but it's still sad because all these orgs and everybody built this thing up from the ground up, quite literally. They built this thing up over years and years, and then finally they get franchising, which I've explained before. It's like any normal team in traditional sports. Teams buy in around $25 million for Call of Duty. Each org has to pay about $25 million. There's 12 teams. They're based from cities or states, and it's like a more of a traditional sports what would you say format, right? So that should be a good thing. $25 million for each team. There's 12 teams. I'm not going to do math. That's a lot of money, right? There's more support. There should be more support for all these teams because they're paying that much money. There's infrastructure in place. But that's the problem that I'm trying to say is that Activision, the developers, esports is such a small little blip on their radar compared to the millions and billions of dollars they make from Warzone, from microtransactions, from selling different games. That's the other thing the business in is selling games. And I guess that's fine. But the competitive aspect of it is what will make the thing grow so much more. Because it's like playing basketball. You can play basketball with your friends, but then you can watch the NBA. That's what this is. You can play Call of Duty with your friends, and then you can watch competitive Call of Duty. But they don't have any support for the competitive side, and that is so frustrating. For a viewer, yes, but just for the orgs. I could not imagine putting that much money into something and barely getting anything in return. The players don't even want to play the game. The game sucks. There's no support from the developers. It would be so horrible. And I can't even articulate because I'm not in that situation. I can just take it from an outsider's perspective to say, this game sucks. But I'm not one of those players who has to play it for 8 hours a day, who has to do scrims for 6 hours a day, who has to stream for another few hours after. I can't imagine how they do that. And that's where it's just so sad, because Call of Duty used to be so fun, not just for me, but competitively from what I've heard. Now, the thing that really is annoying, well, here's the thing too, is I know I'm complaining, but a ton of pros, like actually, the reason I want to talk about this is because last week, my entire Twitter feed was just all pros complaining about the state of competitive Call of Duty. We had people like Nadeshot and Hector Rodriguez, Hex, from Optic, 100 Thieves, talking about how frustrated they are with competitive Call of Duty right now. And they're the ones who have teams in it. They're the ones who are org owners. So it's not me who was initially thinking of this. I got inspiration, if you could say that, from all these pros complaining and stuff. And I thought, you know, it is justified what they're saying. And then this is just my perspective from it. Now, from my org standpoint, the part that is so, so frustrating is because there's no way for orgs like us to even have a Call of Duty team, because there's nothing made. So what they have is they have the CDL. So they have Call of Duty League. That's the 12 teams, millions and millions of dollars they have to buy in. That's it. They're based off cities. Nobody else can join. Then what they have is called Challengers. That's the amateur scene where you can have, you know, that's where you can go and compete. But the problem is nothing comes from that. You can win a bit of money, sure. But why Call of Duty used to be so fun is because tournaments and stuff would be open brackets. So you could have a team that these players were just really, really good at the game. And if they keep winning these tournaments, winning their games, continuing to grow momentum, you could enter a tournament and play against Optic. You could play against FaZe. You could play against E-United. Any of these professional teams, you know, who are more established, you can play against them if you're good enough. That's what made it so cool. You could have underdog stories. You could have a wider variety of teams, so it wasn't the same 12 teams all the time. It was so exciting, and that's what I miss, because I didn't get to see that. But that's what I miss now, being an org owner and loving Call of Duty, is that I would love to have a Challengers team in Call of Duty, but there's nothing that will come from it. Because even if we were the top of Challengers, which we wouldn't be, because there's a lot of really, really good teams, unless we got one of them for some reason. But regardless, even if you had the top team in Challengers, you have no chance of playing against the, you know, I'm doing air quotes right now, the actual pros. Right? So if you're the top of Challengers, you win a few thousand dollars, that's great. Some of it's streamed, but like there's no infrastructure built around that, and there's no opportunity to grow. It's like, okay, great. So our team did the best in this division, and then that's it. There's a cap because you can't get to the top teams. Whereas before you could. And that's where it's very frustrating, because it's almost going to Call of Duty is just a waste. And here's the thing too, that sucks. If there's even an opportunity to go into it, there's a $25 million buy-in. So that's not even feasible again. Like if they had the option for whoever wins challenge is going to be the 13th team, they're not going to let you in there for free when everybody else paid $25 million. It'd probably be like, then you can get the spot, but you're going to have to pay us. And who has that kind of money? I don't know. That's just the part where it's so frustrating, because there's like that cap on like how far you can go. There's that cap on, it's just gatekeeping it in a sense, you know? So that's very frustrating from my end, being an org owner and loving Call of Duty. I want a team, but it's just not feasible. The Challenger scene sucks. I don't even know what's going on, and I'm interested in all this. And I don't even know where to watch streams. It's not organized at all. Teams switch up every other day. Like, there's always a new announcement saying from some of these pros who didn't make it to CDL, we're still really good at the game. They're in Challengers. They're going, oh, we're forming this team. Oh, that didn't work after one tournament. They're breaking up. They're forming a new team. It's an up-and-coming team. They play a tournament. They lose. They completely disband and find a new team. Like, there's no structure around it. There's nothing. And also, the other thing that sucks is because for these pro teams, they don't have academy teams where it's like Optic would have an academy team who plays in Challengers, and then they can like kind of work back and forth. Same with in NHL. You could bring up people from WHL or from all these other little leagues. Well, they're not little leagues, but smaller leagues. They can be traded. They can be brought up. That doesn't happen. And that's where it really sucks. Even if that was a possibility, that would even be something where if you do good in Challengers, you could become the academy team of a pro team, and then you can have some of their resources. So let's say we do really good, win all of our divisions. Since we're a Canadian team, let's just say we get to beat Toronto Ultra's Challengers team. So we do super good. We make a name for ourselves, and then boom, they pick us up. And then we're under Toronto Ultra. We get some of the resources. They get to stream some of our games. We get to be in some content, maybe things like that. And then one of our players can get brought up to their roster if they need to have a sub, things like that. Like, that would be cool, but that just doesn't exist. I don't even know if that would work. That's just me speaking off the top of my head, but something like that to give some incentive to play and to do good. So it's just really sad to see that the state of Call of Duty esports is just not very good. And the fact that the game sucks too. If the game is amazing and the competitive part wasn't there, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? At least the game's fun to play. But when the game's not fun to play and the competitive scene's lacking, that's when it really sucks, because I haven't played Call of Duty. I haven't played Call of Duty for months. For months. I haven't played. And it sucks. That used to be the only game I would play. That's what I would stream. That's what I would do. Now I just play, I know this is a bad thing, but I play Splitgate and Rocket League. That's it. I played a couple of games of Valorant, like I said, but I myself am not a keyboard mouse player. I also don't really, I don't like playing Valorant. I don't mind watching it. I know it's a good team. It's just the type of game I just don't really like to play. It's almost like same with Call of Duty. They have this game mode called Search and Destroy, where you get one life. You're trying to plant the bomb or stop the other team from planting the bomb. It's very strategic. It's a very good game mode. I like watching it. I do not like playing it. It's too much pressure. I like just respawning, killing people, dying, coming back, killing people, getting score streaks, capturing flags, whatever. I don't like to have all that pressure if you're the last one alive and you have to do this and or you'll lose the round or anything. So it's fun to watch, but not for me to play. That game would at least. But anyways, the CDL season for Call of Duty Vanguard starts up in February. So it starts up next month, which will be exciting because I do miss watching competitive Call of Duty. And I just am worried that it's not going to be very good this year. But at least it'll be something to watch. And I probably will watch, but less than I did last year. Last year, I watched a lot of Call of Duty. I watched a lot of it, and it was very exciting. The only reason that I will also want to watch this year is because a lot of the teams have new rosters on them, and so it'll be exciting to see who's going to be a really good team this year. I mean, I know Atlanta FaZe, they were really good 2 years in a row. They won it all last year. They were, like, untouchable practically. More events should be on LAN, so they should be in person. So, again, that'll be exciting to watch. It's just I hope that there's more support for all of the competitive teams, and I hope that they end up doing something with challenges down the line. And therefore, if we do have a Valorant team, we have a Rocket League team, we kind of keep building Cryos, we have more of a community built, more of a fan base built. If they did ever open something up with challengers where it is more feasible, then I would love to hop into it. So that would be very, very exciting down the future. And that's where I'm saying I can't say that as a goal right now, because right now it's not an attainable goal. But down the line, it could be. And you know what? Maybe it would just be a passion project. If I'm like, you know what? I need a Call of Duty team. I bring Brayden on board. I'm like, go manage this team. Put him in tournaments. They're going to be playing all these. And then, sure, then we have a team, but we know it'll go nowhere. So that would just be a passion project. So we'll see down the line. Other than that, I think that's all. This is a good little rant session, and hopefully it was informative at the beginning. And maybe you also agree if you play Call of Duty, or maybe you disagree and you think Call of Duty is in a great state right now, and that's fine. Maybe I'm just missing the whole point. Maybe I'm just getting caught up in the Twitter feeds of all these pros, and I'm just missing the part where competitive Call of Duty is really good right now, or where the game's actually pretty fun and I should just give it a shot. So I don't know. If you have different opinions, that is totally cool. But as for now, I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. Relax, probably. Figure something out. I'm not sure yet. But you all have a good day. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast.